again, again, again. Yet another of these poems about death. Yes, again, survival by repetition. The effort behind the smell of cut grass, the swing back, the push, the crisscross of dying blades. You and me lying down on the grass after that long, hot march, hand in hand on the cool ground, and then pain, our muscles seized to the bone. We almost can't get up, but we do. Pain and the body's memory, the going on of all the other marches, the forward.
Oh, I love you, Minnie Bruce Pratt, and I love your poetry. And this is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. The program is produced by Forest Woods Media Productions. Post-production by Mike Turpin, MET Studios. We wish to thank the Library of Congress for making the program possible. Funders are the Sinipet Fund, Natalie Canavore, and Sandy Jackson Cohen. I am Grace Cavalieri, and our engineer is Mike Turpin.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and before we go to the show, I just want to take a moment to thank everyone who supported KBOO's Winter Drive. We called it All Thrills, No Frills. If you missed any of the drive's specials, you can find them at kboo.fm. While you're there, be sure to click on the donate button. That's how you send us the money that keeps us going. This is the last week of our drive, so please give now, and thank you.
And you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Jaleesa Johnston of the Portland Art Museum. She is talking about the five-day show, Conductions, Black Imaginings, which is on now at the Portland Art Museum, showing the work of Ariella Tai, Ella Ray, and Cheryl Burrows. And the show runs March 22 to 26th in various galleries in the museum. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus by Zoom, Jaleesa.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Sure. This is exciting because it's only 5 days, right? And you are inserting these artists into other galleries, which already have other stuff, right? Yeah. Conductions, Black Imaginings is an ongoing series. Tell us about this particular show.
Well, this is actually the first iteration of Conductions. And I can just give a more personal background about it. The project came about through my experiences at the museum. I work as head of public programs and engagement, so everything I do is ephemeral in nature. It's all in the moment. It's mostly public talks, workshops, community partnerships that support the exhibitions. And is a moment to really think about public programming as art in and of itself, as exhibition work in and of itself. And it's also my reflections on my work as a Black person in the museum and as a Black artist in the community, and the different experiences that Black artists have had with the Portland Art Museum, ranging from feeling really supported through the relationship with the museum, and also having relationships where some artists have felt like harmed by the museum. And so I'm really interested in what it means to hold all of these experiences and all these different visions for what the museum could and should be through Black artists' practices.
For this show, you took three artists, Ariella Tai, Ella Ray, and Cheryl Burrows. Where did you find these people, and how did you approach them and say, you know, how do you feel about 5 days in the museum?
Well, I have a different relationship with each artist. So Ariella Tai is an artist and scholar, film scholar in the community. I think I first came into contact with Ariella through another program at Open Signal, and we were both really taken with each other's work. And so I've since then, we've sort of shown together, we've worked together in different capacities. So I already had an existing relationship with Ariella. Ella Ray actually used to be the curatorial and learning fellow at the museum. And they worked during the run of the All Things Being Equal Hank Willis Thomas exhibition. So all of the amazing programs and partnership work that came out of that exhibition came from Ella and all of the work that Ella put in to make all that happen.
Was that when they brought Sun Ra to the museum?
No, I think that was We Construct Marvels Between Monuments, which was actually before my time at the museum. I started in 2019. So it was actually like right after I started in 2019, that summer was when the Hank Willis Thomas exhibition opened, if I'm recalling correctly.
Yeah.
And then Cheryl is an artist that I met through actually Nat Turner Project, which is another, a different co-artist run organization in Portland that focuses on Black artists, well, artists of color, but run by two Black artists. I was introduced to Cheryl and her work through Nat Turner Project, and we've maintained a close friendship and working relationship ever since.
So you approached them and said, you know, do you have something already made that would work, or do you want to make something new?
I approached them with work already in mind that I had seen, because part of what I wanted to do in this project was to take the burden off of an artist to create something completely new when they already have amazing work that exists and deserves to be shown many, many times. But I also left some room open if they didn't want to show that work, or if they wanted to do an iteration of it, or, you know, a variation of it. I was also open to that. So for Ariella, I had seen Look Back at Me already through a mobile projection unit showing last summer. And for Ella, I had seen The Burning Questions when Ella and I were both at a residency at Alberta Abbey through Black Art Ecology of Portland and Nat Turner Project. And I had seen those sandwich boards, those A-frames, as Ella was making them. And I was, I've been thinking about them ever since. And that was in the summer of 2020. And then for Cheryl, I had originally asked Cheryl to do a performance work that I had seen and known about for some years. That work did not come to fruition this time around. So we worked together to show a few other pieces that Cheryl had in progress.
So tell us about Ella Ray. She's a library worker. These burning questions, they're called. And so they're these black sandwich boards that sit on the gallery floor, and they have in bold, all caps, they have these questions on them. And there are also these cards on the floor next to them. Before we say what the questions are, what is the format? You know, is this, how interactive is this work?
So their work is, I think, very interactive. It's direct engagement with visitors. When they originally made these sandwich boards, they were meant to be outside. They were really meant to be encountered in the same way you would encounter similar signage while walking on the street.
2-for-1 pad thai or open house or something like that, right?
Yeah, and I wasn't sure how they would feel about showing them within a museum, within an institution. So I was like, oh, they might say no, but thankfully, they were open to the idea. And so as a result, we've tried to stay true as possible to their original intention, which is that, you know, they're just directly on the floor. They're not on pedestals. I asked if it was okay if I move them around, because I also feel like that's part of the language or the being of that kind of format of A-frame signs. We work with them a lot in public programs. And you're constantly moving signs around, placing them in other places, and just trying to help people like find their way or learn about something or engage in some way. So I thought it'd be really awesome. And Ella was down with the idea of moving them constantly throughout the run of production.
So how many sandwich boards will there be?
There's two. And on the sandwich boards, I can just say like a little bit about what Ella was thinking.
Yeah.
What communicated. So Ella was composing questions. They wrote to me on their notes app in the summer of 2020. And they were questions that were keeping them from being productive, in quotes, whatever productive means. These questions are very much interested in interrogating their relationship to power, praxis, and creativity. And some of the questions that you'll find are like, what does institutional rupture, taste, sound feel like? Or another question that's on the sandwich boards, after the revolution, do museums still exist? One of the things I love about this work is that it's asking visitors within the context of the Portland Art Museum, it will be asking visitors to question their relationship to an investment in the museum as a space, but in a way that feels generative. There's a lot of envisioning in the questions, like really asking people to imagine in their brains, to envision what's beyond this moment. And that for me feels really, really hopeful.
There are multiple questions, but only two boards, right? So do somebody change the words every day?
No, they stay the same. A set of questions on each board and they stay the same.
Okay. Because yeah. You sent me a list of multiple questions.
So that is the PDF. There's a takeaway that people can take with them. They're originally risograph prints of the questions. So yeah. People can engage with the questions in the moment with the A-frames, but then they can also take home these little printouts with the questions on them.
Is that what is the pink object on the floor next to them?
Yes. And we'll have these prints also in these little brightly neon colored acrylic boxes next to the A-frames.
So in the context of a museum, the question, what does institutional rupture, taste, sound feel like? I imagine institution there means museum.
I think it's broad enough that it could really mean any institution, but since they're placed in the museum in this specific context, I'm thinking about that question directly at the museum, with the museum.
And then the noun rupture, that's the kernel of the question. So I'm standing there looking at it in a museum, trying to think what is being ruptured, if anything, in a museum. You know, does that mean the walls come down, the price goes away, you know, the staff changes? I guess the word rupture is it's dramatic. It's dramatic change. It sounds destructive, actually. Is the idea for the listener, the viewer, to just contemplate the question on the spot?
Yeah, to contemplate the question on the spot, and especially their moment in time being in the galleries at the museum. It's just an invitation to rethink their relationship and their reasoning for investing in that space, in the museum space for coming. And I think it's interesting that you pointed out the destruction part. I think there's a lot of shying away from questions like the ones posed in Ella's work because of the fear around destruction. Mm-hmm. And actually, destruction can be quite generative. It's a way to cleanse things, to take things apart and rebuild them. So yeah. You can't really have creation without destruction in some way.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the things about burning questions is it's nods to the destruction, and it also nods to the moment in time when Ella was writing these questions down. And they have not told me this, so I'm not trying to put words in their mouth, but this is just what I'm imagining. The summer of 2020, you know, the pandemic, it was just this like really intense moment of questioning and what's going to happen and what's going to become. And I mean, it could have gone a number of different ways. So I think it's also a way to try to envision what futures could look like as a way of moving forward, as a way of continuing, and as a way of trying to do it in a way that feels really aware and conscious of the creative energy of the moment.
And then the synesthetic side of it, what does it taste, sound, feel like? Mm-hmm. That is difficult because the word taste just throws me off. Institution, taste, I don't know where to go with that. So is the idea to be just make the question itself hard to answer?
No, I don't think it's to make it hard to answer. I think it's just a different way in to invite people in to think differently about their bodily experience. I think that, and Ella has like mentioned this in some capacity, there's this over-intellectualization of our experiences. Mm-hmm. And I think in museums, there is definitely a tendency to over like intellectualize things to the point that we really distance ourselves from the humanness that we're like, in the end of the day, we're all humans, like in these bodies, and we're alive and mm-hmm. going through this really messy human experience together. For me, asking questions that gesture to the senses of the body, for something to taste, for rupture to taste like something, for it to sound like something, for it to feel like something, is just another way of asking people to get back into their bodies and get back into the fullness of their existence. We don't only exist in our thoughts. We exist in our fingers. We exist in our tongues. We exist in so many other facets mm-hmm. of being alive.
And the other question on a board is, who gets in the way of your creative autonomy? That sounds more like a kind of self-help kind of motivational thing, you know, someone, an artist who's blocked thinking about how to create.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and it can be, I think that's a really good question, because I think there's also a tendency to think that if we're not being productive or not doing the things we want to do, it must be because of something we're doing. Whereas it's a fuller experience. There are so many other areas of life that are influencing or impacting the way mm-hmm. that we're maneuvering through our daily lives and through the work that we're trying to make and create. And so I love that question, because I think it's a like an accountability question. Like, okay, really think about what is keeping you from making your best work, or what is keeping you from really like living in a fuller way? Mm-hmm. Because when you can identify that in a real way, in a material way, then next comes the question, what can we do about that? I don't know. I love that question. It does... It pushes me into a more vulnerable place when I think about it.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Jaleesa Johnston of the Portland Art Museum. And Jaleesa is talking about Conductions, Black Imaginings, a 5-day show of work by Ariella Tai, Ella Ray, and Cheryl Burrows, which runs March 22nd to the 26th. Cheryl Burrows, one of her pieces is a mobile of letters, and it's called Cone, right? Cone as in like a Zen cone, a riddle?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's the letters that make up the N-word. You know, they're like an anagram. They dangle in the air from sort of like thread.
Yeah.
So you look at these letters, and then you piece it together, you know, by anagram logic. You know, what does this mean? The only anagram I could come up with was ginger.
Yeah.
You know, the only other word, which is interesting. So it means the N word kind of jumps out at you, and there are a few alternatives. These are gray letters, is that right? Or gray?
They're white.
And black. White. In the photo, they show up as black.
Yeah.
Is that just a shadow?
No, it is a shadow, but that photo is of a different iteration of Koan. So Cheryl's made a current iteration that she'll be showing. It's the same letters. It's still the letters of the N-word. And the mobile, it looks like a minimalist mobile that goes over like a baby's crib. Like wood, it's made with wood, and it's white, and it's more of like that minimalist, like hanging over a baby's crib kind of mobile with little block letters.
Yeah, it's pure letters. There's no pictures or anything.
No pictures.
Are all the letters lowercase?
That's a good question. I have not yet seen this, all the details of this iteration. I think they're all uppercase.
So also what threw me was one of the G's and the I were uppercase. Mm-hmm. So your brain is trying to, you know, form a proper noun using capital letters.
Yeah.
And what do you get out of this piece?
This piece for me is a nod to the original performance that I had initially asked Cheryl to do for this exhibition. Something that it does for me is it takes this really, really violent, really hurtful, painful word, but also depending on how it's used in other contexts, with like amongst Black people, a word amongst shared amongst Black people, it has other connotations as well. But I think within like the museum space, the painful part of that word hits a different kind of way. So I was trying to be really aware of the space. And it takes this really fraught word and it pulls it apart and asks us to look at it in a way that is not logical. Something that Cheryl has said about her work is that white supremacy, which is, you know, where a lot of this racist imagery and wording comes from, is not logical. White supremacy is not logical. It is not a logical way of thinking about humans in the world. So to try to fight something that's so illogical with logic doesn't necessarily make sense for her. So she's more interested in taking an unconventional route, a route that is not a logical one, to rethink our relationship. And in rethinking the relationship and recontextualizing the word and trying to drain it of its power, and by pulling it apart, can we then find a way to no longer be victims to it, but instead have an autonomous, and in particular, like an autonomous, like formation of Black identity. Even using the term Black, when it comes to Cheryl and Cheryl's work, using the term Black is really complicated. Cheryl has commented about that term and how that term isn't really helpful for her in expressing her full humanity. I think that's another reason why I think Cheryl's work is really interesting within the show, because, you know, I use the term Black conductions, Black imaginings. That word comes up over and over again. For me, it's definitely a word of power, but I think it's really interesting to think about a different voice that actually questions how helpful that word is. Again, I think it's just, it's this moment to bring together so many different perspectives and allowing them all to live together. And liberation really looks different for each person. So there has to be many different avenues.
Cheryl does other stuff, right? She does like fabric arts and is any of that in the show?
Yes. So Cheryl has two fabric pieces, or like fiber-based works. There's Wabi Sabi, which is like the main thing that Cheryl was working on for this. It's the biggest piece when you come up to the fourth floor in the CMCA. And it's this kimono, this vintage kimono that she found. And cross-stitched onto the kimono is this image of a pickaninny, like a caricature of a pickaninny. And that's like the biggest piece. And it's going to be floating, like hanging, suspended.
Why is she using a kimono?
Well, that's a good question. She uses the kimono because, well, Cheryl's always been really invested in like Japanese culture, and in particular, a lot of the different ways that have surfaced, or like a lot of the different ways of looking at living and art within Japanese culture. Mm-hmm. The title Wabi Sabi is an interesting one because, you know, it takes something and makes it beautiful again, something really hard and makes it beautiful again. So there's that unconventional route, I think, that Cheryl is really interested in, that shows up over and over again in different facets of Japanese culture. And she's engaged within a number of other artworks as well. But yeah, so there's this kimono, and then the other fabric piece is actually, it's a bookmark. It's a little fabric bookmark. It's really beautifully like embellished with roses and lace and like really fine stitching. And on the bookmark, it has the N-word on it in this like really beautiful fine cursive, but it's small. So you don't really get to that part of the bookmark, the like horror of the word that's there, because you're at first taken with all of the other beauty that surrounds it, the roses and the lace and the, it feels really delicate, like it's from another time almost. So it's a really interesting piece. That piece is called All Things Must Pass. And then the final work that Cheryl's showing is an ink stamp called Dhamma. And the ink stamp is also a caricature of a pickaninny face. And Cheryl actually, that particular face, like that particular caricature, Cheryl used to sign her work with. So that used to be her signature.
She's taking these racist imagery of kind of like the 20th century, early 20th century, and kind of recycling it or critiquing it. A lot of artists have been doing that. What do you find kind of fresh about her take on it?
I think one of the things that's fresh for me is her how she got to this place in her life. Rather than using those images as a way to say, look at how terrible this is, instead, these images are like really playful for her. And I know that sounds like the total opposite of how you would expect a Black person to feel about those images. But for her, she's been through so many personal experiences in her life that she's worked her way into this place of having a different relationship where they're playful, where they're kind of funny, and they just don't hold power over her. She doesn't feel like a victim to them. So she uses them over and over again, understanding that her relationship is different from a lot of other people's relationships, but she's hopefully trying to create an open door for people to walk through. It's an invitation to rethink their relationship to these images.
So the third artist you focus on is Ariella Tai, and they are an experimental filmmaker from Queens, New York, living in Portland. What can we see from Ariella in the show?
So Ariella is going to show a 3-channel video piece called Look Back at Me. And I'm just there's a lot of references. This one thing about Ariella is that their citation list is amazing. Amazing, amazing. Mm-hmm. So the title, Look Back at Me, is taken from the 2008 track from Miami rapper Trina. And in this 3-channel installation, it'll be 3 monitors. There's audio and there's visuals. The visuals are glitch and analog video processed images that are appropriated from popular culture, and in particular, like Black pop culture and media. Ariella thinks about the taking of these images, the editing, manipulation, repurposing of these images as visual and sonic alters for Black femme pleasure, play, revenge, and possibility. And some of the footage that people might recognize and Look Back at Me come from Janet Jackson's Velvet Rope Tour from the Players Club, specifically Ronnie, the character Ronnie in the film, the 1998 film, The Players Club. And there's also footage of Grace Jones, amongst others. So this will be in the Hoffman Lobby, in the Nook. There's like a little corner Nook area right off the Hoffman Lobby. Just so everyone knows, there are curtains, but please come through the curtains. Like, we welcome you to come in, and you'll be able to be immersed in this 3-channel video piece along with the sound. One of the things I love about Ariella's work, the humor. There's a tongue-in-cheekness, there's a humor that's there, there's a familiarity that's there, there's also a lot of beauty that's there, and these really powerful moments that are taken and highlighted via the glitching and analog editing. I've always loved the way Ariella can think about multiple sources, multiple Black stories and experiences and utterances that are coming through these different channels of music, of film, of experimental video and film. And then they pull them together in these really like clever and powerful ways, these really beautiful ways, very poetic ways.
So Jaleesa, this is an ephemeral show, like 5 days, the work kind of moves around. You know, if you miss it, you miss it. What's the power for you for putting this on?
Yeah, thank you for that question. The power for me of putting this on comes in is this really awesome straddle between exhibition and that there are artworks on view. There's objects, which is something that initially I was trying to avoid. But in the end, I embraced it because that's what the artists were really interested in showing. And also my interest in their practice resulted in objects. So there's that nod to exhibition that people expect of a museum space, I think. But then how temporal it is and how it's dispersed. It doesn't have a central, like localized space. It's dispersed throughout the museum. It's sort of disrupting different spaces. That's also in the power of the exhibition. Mm-hmm. I will be there for all the entire run of the show, except for Friday. So also, if anyone has questions, I really want to be present to answer them, because that's also part of public programming, is that we engage with each other. We're there with each other. We're thinking through it together. So I encourage people to come find me and ask questions.
So it's interactive in that sense, that people can rely on you for some kind of meta text, right? Explanation.
Yes. And then Cheryl's going to have a closing talk around her in the space of her work on the last day, on Sunday, the 26th.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Jaleesa Johnston from the Portland Art Museum. Jaleesa was talking about the five-day show, Conductions, Black Imaginings, which shows the work of Black artists Ariella Tai, Ella Ray, and Cheryl Burrows, which runs March 22nd to 26th at the Portland Art Museum. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus by Zoom, Jaleesa.
Yeah, thank you so much, Joseph.
Andy Warhol looks a scream. Have him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
What do we mean when we talk about personality? What is your personality? It is the way you get along with other people around you and with your changing environment. You want certain things from other people. The way to go about getting those things reveals your personality. Your personality is the way you affect other people. Think about that. The way you affect other people.
Estás sintonizando KBOO Portland en el 90.7 en tu dial de FM.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy martes 21 de marzo del 2020.